developments that would reduce our current water requirements for development, but rather how they handled that water.
Yep.
Besides just metering, everybody thinks, well, we're gonna meter the secondary water and that's gonna conserve, no, it's not.
They'll just write that check.
Might, but it's, they'll just write the check.
Yeah. Okay. Just wanted to make sure we were all on the same page there. Okay, go ahead, Michael.
And so, moving forward, there's a number of sections of code that we propose for the, to amend, for the city council to consider. And some of this is just kind of cleanup in our current code. So for instance, in the supplementary requirements of codes, just cleaning up, and so it shows, I'll give my pointer up so I can point to things. So for instance, the small scale subdivisions, there's really no landscaping requirements, all within a lot. And so we took that out, but we added in the commercial. The commercial's never had a landscaping requirement, and that's probably one of the most important ones. So that's also been included into this, is including commercial with the planning and development standard subdivision, resort development, and commercial site plans. We've also taken out quite a bit of language in Part G that basically says the land use authority will grant approval instead of having all that extra language. We've made it very simple at that point. So in almost every case, the land use authority is the city council. So when we look at subdivision approval, you would see those plans, you'd see the landscaping plan, and you would approve that plan as part of the overall approval. There are a few items that just go through staff. So just a permitted commercial use, for instance, if we have a restaurant that's being built, we would review that plan with the visual and architectural committee, make sure it's meeting the requirements established in the code.
Do you want questions scattered throughout? Or?
Scattered is good.
Okay, yeah. I'm wondering why you're exempting all subdivisions other than standard subdivisions. Why wouldn't we apply that even with respect to a three-lot subdivision, which would be a small one?
Yeah, so really these landscaping standards don't apply directly to lots within a subdivision. It's really the open space in those subdivisions.
Why not?
And so
my second question was, when they come in with a building permit, does somebody look at the landscape plan in the building department and see that it's compliant with the, I mean, for a project, to see if it's compliant with the landscape plan for that property, if there is one?
So when we get a landscape plan for a subdivision, that covers the common area or open space, so the area is not within a lot.
Well, what about, okay, I apologize.
Within the lots themselves, the city has never regulated how that landowner landscapes within the lot.
All right.
That would be much more of an administrative process on our side to be able to go in and look at each one individually.
And so you're saying a small subdivision doesn't have any common area?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Steve, the building department does look at that. Also, engineering kind of looks at it.
With
the
building permit applications?
Mm-hmm.
They look at drainage for sure. That's
yeah.
the thing that's required by.
What's really happened more than just, okay, they said they were going to put a tree here and they did it, whatever. They kind of look at it generally, and then they run it sometimes by Michael's office, sometimes by Wes's office. They do tend to be a bit of a red flagger, so to speak. So it's not
but
as.
Some of that is handled by CCNR's architectural requirements. Yeah, understood.
It's not
and
as
if
precise.
We have this other ordinance dealing with how to use the water, then that may have some application there as well. Okay.
So this really deals with the common area, open space, and right-of-way areas, and then commercial and business park developments, those landscaping, and also resort, I should mention that also. So landscaping minimums, where landscaping is required in this title, the following landscaping requirements must be met. So native and wildflower seed mixes may only be used on slopes 20% or greater. This is, we had quite a discussion with the Planning Commission on this item. So let me explain the issue that we've had. Developers always want to put in this native and wildflower seed mix, and it can work. Not so much the wildflower, those disappear fairly quickly after the plant of the season or two, so they end up, the flowers just end up disappearing. I think the mayor has a direct example of that behind her house.
Weeds.
native grass is handwork, but a lot of times they're not maintained to where it ends up being native grass, it ends up being just what we call sometimes the weed mix. And so it's maintained property, and I think Dutch Fields is a good example of one that's maintained property along the berm along River Road. It's basically a wild native grass mix, and that seems to look really well, but there's other examples I won't point out right now around town that they don't look near as good. It seems to be that developers find that it's less money to put in just this wild grass mix, but over in the long run it ends up being a lot of weeds. And so that's kind of the concern we've got. So we've listed on here that you can only use the native wildflower mix on slopes above 20% or greater. I would actually change that to just native grass mix, not native wildflower, because the wildflower is the real problem too. So that's our suggestion. The Planning Commission did not follow that if you read their motion. They wanted to allow not allow wildflower mix, but just to allow the wild grass mix anywhere that a developer would want to see it. And so, not restricted to slope, but I have a feeling we'll get a lot of that if we don't restrict it somehow.
Well, a lot of that integrates with what can be irrigated. And sensitive areas, steep slopes like on the Wilson project,
yeah,
aren't irrigated. And so they're not gonna mow them because
yeah,
they can't on a steep slope. Dutch Fields is irrigated,
yeah,
and mowed from time to time.
It is, and
so
it's
mowed a little bit different.
3 or 4 times a year, it looks pretty good usually, but when they don't maintain it, it looks pretty bad.
So I guess I'm just in my mind parsing a couple of different scenarios. One of them is, if it's an existing hillside with an existing native flora that is stable and hasn't been irrigated, I guess my only concern with that, to be honest, would be any concerns about fires. Other than that, I would think it would be best to leave it native and not require anything else if they want to do that.
Yeah.
The other case would be flat ground that, similar scenario, maybe it has a native grass on it that if it's mowed high would do fine. If it's stable and if it's the right type of grass that will do fine and won't get any more irrigation than it's ever had, then I'd love to support that personally. I don't know if those are the scenarios that happen or if we're forcing some other thing to happen, like they have to plow it up and now whatever's, you know, now the stability's gone, so it's going to take years and years to get it back. That's kind of my question. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, it makes sense. And there's definitely areas around town that are on slopes that we're not going to require them to go in and plant grass, like Bergie Hill, for instance. If something came in there, we would want to leave it native.
Well, this isn't requiring them to drill up and plant grass. It's only saying,
If you're
going to landscape it because you've disturbed it, and they shouldn't be disturbing anything over 25%, then this is the only stuff you can plant.
Okay.
Yeah. You can't put bluegrass out there.
Okay. Well, yeah, so in my mind, what we'd love to have is if they've disturbed something that was stable, get it back to stable.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I agree. We don't want them tearing up something that's stable.
In the past, is part of the reason they want to do the wild grasses, is the water requirement been less on that?
It hasn't. We require
okay.
3 or 4 acres.
So it really was just the cost of installing that maybe made it
throw out some seed
attractive.
And you're done.
Yeah, I think
maintenance.
Cheap seed.
Cheap seed, yeah.
Because they don't maintain it.
And so that's why
yeah.
that happens quite often. We require the water requirement wherever the city council
But we don't on sensitive lands, right?
Not on sensitive lands. That's
right.
Correct.
As a matter of fact, we say you can't irrigate it.
Yeah, except for like FEMA floodplain, that is sensitive land. There's certain
yeah.
sensitive lands that you would, but other ones, yeah, we definitely wouldn't want them to water.
Well, just like in Raymond Farms, where it was wetlands
mm-hmm.
historically, we said you can't irrigate that without coming with more water.
Yeah,
so
frankly, I don't know why they would plant that.
So was the Planning Commission kind of trying to cover the scenarios I'm thinking of, wanting to allow for that, to put back in a native stable species and get it stable? Because I'd be fine with that, but I don't know how to prevent your troublesome issues.
Yeah. So on a flat area, they felt it was appropriate that a developer could choose between a bluegrass or just a wild grass mix. So that wasn't determined by slope. The developer could just propose that and get it approved. Staff is suggesting it's a little more difficult than that. We could make do with what the Planning Commission is recommending and just have the developer propose something, but I think we'll get a lot of wild grass mix. And I don't know if that's what we want everywhere around town.
Can we be more specific that we can designate a certain mix that we know? But maybe not tonight, but if we wanted to come to that later.
So JC, to that point, I think there's kind of two purposes here. One is kind of the carrot of let's prohibit a certain behavior,
mm-hmm.
and that would be, you know, falling back on a throwing out a native grass and not having to maintain it. And I think this accomplishes that.
Right.
The other side of that is if we take away native grass and wildflowers, now we assume that, you know, Kentucky bluegrass is going to be placed anywhere.
Everywhere.
And I think we would need to follow this up with an additional ordinance change that provides incentives for native vegetation or, you know, water-wise vegetation that we could encourage developers to put that in, you know, instead of the Kentucky bluegrass. So that would be kind of the, you know, the carrot versus the
right.
stick. So I think we need to have both, but we really only have one in front of us right now.
Okay.
I agree with that completely.
Okay.
So does council, we have up here wildflower. I feel like that should be taken out. So that's something to consider also.
And yeah, I'd agree with that.
I would too.
Taken out or expounded native grass or wildflower
native
seed mix.
And or wildflower. If
well, again,
we have to be specific or they win.
I think my concern is, again, you know, what kind of wildflower mix? You know, I'd like to be more specific. If we knew specifically what it was and we could designate, oh, this one will be okay, then I would go for it.
I'd say grasses and the wildflowers, if they're meant to grow there, they'll show up.
Yeah, that's
more often
generally
than not,
the case.
It's thistle and Dyer's woe.
Right.
But is this one of these items where you're going to want
to
specify specifically? Because if not, they're going to take the choice and they're going to go beyond kind of what
right.
what we're wanting. Is that safe
yeah.
to say or not?
Yeah, that's correct. That's how I see it also.
So going with what Jeff said before, if we just strike it now, we could come back
and
try to be more specific if we want to allow
well,
it.
Well, no, we can be specific and say native grasses or wildflower seeds can only be used on slopes 20% or greater, but then we need to come back and say for everything that's not 20% or greater, if you use drought-tolerant endemic species, here's a benefit. If you don't and you put bluegrass in, shame on you.
Mm-hmm.
but I think to your... Jeff, to your first one is, whatever is that, native or seed, whatever, we need to be more specific to that, or else we're going to get
whatever
yeah. different versions of it.
Could you call it like native or wildflower?
I don't.
Could you put approved?
Yeah, let's just add the word approved, and we'll have a list
approved.
With nothing on it for right now.
And
yeah.
So that's the direction we want to head.
I mean,
trees, we've done that.
Just do approved.
Okay.
So we work with, you know, a landscape artist.
So you can spec the right mix.
Just get the approved
ones.
It's
just the wildflowers seem to not last more than a season or two, so that ends up being a problem. People don't want to cut where the wildflowers are because it cuts down the flowers, but it also it allows weeds to infiltrate those areas too. And so,
wouldn't that allow you over time also if, you know, if you're speccing this and you're seeing it doesn't work, you can adjust it. And so whatever the
approved native grass.
Approved
yeah.
That's what I would suggest.
You know, I can tell people, this isn't Florida or North Carolina or South Carolina or, you know, some green space in Southern California. It's a friggin' desert. Leave it alone. Go with it. Quit planting evergreen trees.